the splendor of a king, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Age to age.
So good to see y'all this morning. Hope everyone's doing well, having a wonderful day. What a beautiful morning that God's given us. Amen, amen, amen. I saw y'all just sit down. If you don't mind, let's all stand if you can to honor the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Just want to lift Him up. What a way to start off a service. How great is our God. And you know, that's the same God. That is God that we pray to. That is a God that we worship. That is a God we live for, that gave us the breath that we have right now, that gave us this opportunity to gather in His house and in His name. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, there are a lot of prayer requests and there are a lot of needs. God knows each and every one. And also there's a lot of praise reports. A lot of times that we just have an opportunity just to brag on how great God is. And just through our testimonies of faith and of all the healings and all the touchings. But as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, let's remember those that are in need. Those that are sick and shut in. Those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason. Those that just so many situations going on today. And you know the situations in your heart right now. If you will, if you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God knows. And let's raise that other one. Let's praise Him. Lord, we just love You this morning. Lord, we just praise Your holy name. Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, we ask You just to let it pour out upon us in this service this morning, dear Lord. But we do thank You, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather together in Your house. The Lord, allowing us just to come before You. And Lord, we love You and we praise You. Lord, thank You for that desire that You've given each and every one of us to follow You and to be in Your will. Lord, we love You. Dear Lord, now You see the hands that were raised. You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, You know the needs that are out there right now. Dear Lord, and we're asking You to heal right now, to mend, to protect. Dear Lord, we're praying for those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we're praying for those that are just lost completely, dear Lord. They just have no direction to go. Lord, may they find You, dear Lord. May Your word go forth to them wherever they are right now, dear Lord, and just pierce their hearts, dear Lord, and Your open invitation that You have for each and every one of us and also for our families, dear Lord, we're asking You just to minister to each and every one of us. Lord, thank You again, dear Lord, for this congregation You've given us, dear Lord, for the many blessings You placed upon it. Dear Lord, we pray for our pastor and his family. Lord, strengthen them as they go about Your business and Your work. But, dear Lord, we honor You, we praise You, and we give You all the glory in the most precious name of the above, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 306. Well, we haven't done it in a while, the old gospel ship. Go back and how great that is, because if you have some good news to bring, amen. may be seated if you can. Turn around and tell somebody how much Jesus loves them. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to get ready and take up the morning offering, but I have a couple of announcements to bring forth. And one of them is right now for you ladies, just to let you know. I know we mentioned it last week, but there's a change of dates on the Ida Bell for this month, and it'll be this Tuesday night, the 7th. And it's changed only because of Valentine's Day being next week, so it'll go back to its normal time after this. But if you have any questions, Sister Linda's here this morning. And she also says, please join us in worship as y'all prepare for your service. We'll keep all the ministries in our prayer. Also, I have the Amazing Grace. I like how it says on here, the Amazing Gracers. Praise God. The announcing the February activity, it'll be February the 18th at 11 o'clock. Going to be meeting at Southern Lanes in Douglasville and getting ready to get a chance to go bowling. Ask you to meet up about 11 o'clock to give everybody a chance to pick out their shoes and everything that they need to do to get ready. So I'm glad to see the Amazing Grace gets going again. It's a wonderful ministry, good folks, and just really enjoy it. There'll be a sign-up sheet in the back if you have any questions. There'll be more information to come if needed. That's the only announcement that I have up here right now. Well, we'll go ahead and take up the morning offering then. Thank you, brothers. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
I raise a hallelujah. Amen. The King is alive. Anybody in the house glad that the King is alive?
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Just want to start off by saying this morning that I love you dearly. You're precious, and you've made this week somewhat bearable, and I thank you for that. Thank you for all your love, your kind words, your compassion, most of all for your prayers. Not real sure how this is going to go, to be honest with you. I thought I could jump right back in. But I know what Mother would say. Mother would say, you just keep on. You just go on. Do what the Lord has called you to do. And that's what I'm going to try to do this morning. But I cannot lie to you. I'm standing where I stood Wednesday. And and where Mother... You know, her body came to church for the last time, but I know what you know. I know where she is. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the life that you lived. I'm thankful for you. Amen. I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to read the word of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of St. John in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse number 32. While you're doing that, let all of our visitors know how much we love them and how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning. We appreciate each and every one of you. Reading of the Gospel of John in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse number 32 this morning, if you turn with me there. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore or always give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. And we pray, Heavenly Father, how we love your holy presence, God, and how we depend on your Spirit this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would fill this sanctuary with your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would saturate our souls this morning, God, with that heavenly manna. Father, I ask for strength, I ask for guidance, I ask for wisdom and knowledge this morning, God, that you would just speak through this vessel that we need to hear. God, anoint these lips of clay this morning, God. We know we're only a vessel and an only oracle. If there's anything that good comes out of this service this morning, it will be from you, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would feed us. I pray, God, that you would minister to us. Father, we do remember those who are suffering, those who are sick and afflicted, and pray, God, a very special prayer of healing on their account. God, and especially those who are lost, those who are unsaved, those who are cold and backslidden, Father, I pray that you would give them a wake-up call. God, I pray that you would love them, but convict their heart. God, reach out to them, but draw them to an altar of repentance. Father, may this message somehow strike that chord in the lives of those who are not ready to meet you, should you come and call. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory if we ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, The Bread of Life, or Bread of Life. We have here an account of Jesus speaking to the people and to the multitudes. I would urge each and every one of us to continue to read the Word of God, and especially the words that are written in red if your Bible does have those words written in the red. If not, plainly lets us know the words that Jesus spoke. How many knows that Jesus didn't just talk just to be talking? Every word that proceeded out of his mouth was for our growth, our expectation, our blessing, And praise the Lord, most of all, for our salvation. And we find Jesus here just shortly after the miracle of the fishes and the loaves. You remember the story of how that the Lord took the fishes and the loaves, and he multiplied them, and he distributed them to the disciples, and in turn, the disciples fed the multitude that was there, some 5,000 men. And not only was it sufficient for those who ate, but there were 12 baskets of fragments left over and above until they were all full and could eat no more. And if you will recall, this was shortly after the time that Jesus dismissed the disciples and sent them out to the boats to go across the sea. And Jesus himself later came walking on the sea to get in the boat with his disciples. And we find that Jesus and the disciples are now on the other side of the lake. And the multitude is seeking Jesus but cannot find him. They have looked where he was. They've looked where they thought he was supposed to be, but they could not find him, nor did they find the disciples. So they scurried around and finally saw some more little boats coming in, and they did come upon Jesus and the disciples. Jesus, rather than saying, "Hey, where y'all been? We love you and we thank God that you're here," began to speak to them and to scold them. Now, he had just fed them with the multitude of fish and bread that he blessed and multiplied. So we knew he had compassion on them. We knew he loved them. He knew that he was concerned for their welfare. But now we find that same Jesus somewhat scolding them, telling them, "You didn't come for salvation. You didn't come because you have faith. You didn't come because you believe the miracles. You came because you wanted me to feed your flesh and to fill your belly." There's a term that they use there. It said, "Evermore give us this bread, Lord, that we will not be hungry again. Evermore give us this drink that we will never ever thirst again." According to the words of Jesus and how that his was John recorded here, they were not concerned about eternity. They were not concerned about where their soul would end up. They were concerned about, "Will you sustain me all the days of my life? Will you be my food? Will you be my water? I'll never have to worry again." Basically, they were more concerned about their flesh than they were their soul. He then begins to minister to the crowd. Jesus never passed up an opportunity to minister to the crowd. Sure, he healed them. He opened blinded eyes. He unstopped the deaf ears. He caused the lame to walk. He healed the leper. He even raised the dead. All of those things he did, and many, many more. Some so much that they couldn't even record it all in the four Gospels. But he never, ever passed up an opportunity to preach to them about eternity. If you're saved today, if you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that is the most precious and worthy thing that you could attain in this world today. There is nothing in this world that can compare to eternal salvation. Now, Jesus tells us he will supply our needs. Jesus promises us, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." He promises us that he will make a way even when there's not a way. But all of those wonderful things, he encourages us and promises us that "I will take care of you while you're here on earth, but don't lose the fact that I am more concerned about your soul than I am your flesh." We know that flesh and blood is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us that. But that soul is going to live forever in one of two destinations. And Jesus takes this opportunity to begin to share with them. The crowd said, "Well, our fathers ate bread from heaven, given by God." And then basically they said, "Show us a sign, or what can you do for us? I am afraid that we're living in a world today where the majority of the people are more concerned what Jesus can do for them than what Jesus could give them as far as eternal life. Oh, that every soul of God, oh, that every born-again Christian would truly realize the wonderful blessing that Jesus Christ, when He gave His ultimate, He gave His all, He gave His life on the cross of Calvary, so that when our casket is rolled down the church aisle and it sets before the congregation, there will be absolutely no doubt, no wondering where that soul is going to spend eternity. And I'll follow that up and say, it's not by the good works that that person did while they were living here. It's not by how many times they came into the church. It's not by how many times they sang in the choir. Now, all of those things are good and wonderful, but they did that because they were saved, not to get saved. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus is all that is going to be there. Amen. Will it let us know whether we're going to spend eternity with our loving Savior Jesus Christ or be cast into a terrible place. By the way, if we go as an intruder. Jesus, in all of His love and all of His compassion and of all of His concern to make sure that every single person was fed, here, eat to your fullest. I will supply your need even more than you're able to consume, even more than you're able to spend, even more than you're able to apply to your life. But all of that pales in comparison to what I can do for your soul. And you need to understand and know that it wasn't Moses that gave the food. It wasn't Moses that gave the manna. He was just a man of God, being submissive and obedient to a higher power. God looked down upon you where you're struggling through the wilderness. And even after you doubted Him, even after you said, let us go back to Egypt, even though you blamed Moses, why did you bring us out in the wilderness to die? God still, in His infinite mercy and love and compassion, rained heavenly manna down on you. But I want you to know, God has done something much more extraordinary than feed your flesh with manna. And then He follows that up and He says, I am the bread of life. I am. Make no mistake about it. There is no other name given unto heaven whereby man must be saved. We find a little bit of a prelude to the wonderful I am and the gigantic meaning that it is. Sometimes we read through the Bible and we read words that sometimes we pass over them and maybe do not stop and pause and think about the great importance that they mean. There's two little words, I am, that means everything to a Christian. You remember what God told Moses out of the burning bush. Moses said, I can't go back to Egypt. I'm a fugitive there. I can't go back and talk to Pharaoh. I don't have the ability to speak well. Who will I say has sent me? And the voice from the burning bush tell them, I am. I want to tell the church today that whatever you're going through, whoever you need to lean on, there is two little words that you need to memorize and you need to practice them every day of your life. I am with you. I am your God. I am your protector. I am your healer. I am your redeemer. I am the lifter up of your head. I am the one that'll stand beside you. I am the one that'll never leave you. I am the one that'll hold your hand. I am the one who died on the cross of Calvary that you may have eternal life. Now we find Jesus saying the same words. Then said they. Then said they. I hear the world today echoing in my spirit and in my mind. Then said they, what does the world say? What's in it for me? They'll put up a lame excuse. Well, if the Lord loves us like the Bible says, why does he let these things happen? Why is there sickness? Why is there pestilence? Why are there all of these things happening in the world today? Well, if they're asking that, then let me know that they're not much of a Bible reader. The Bible said all these things and more are going to happen. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it out of the ordinary. We're Bible readers, we know that the soon coming of the Lord is at hand. We can see the unfolding of Bible prophecy right before our very eyes in this generation. We used to push it a generation or two away. But folks, if I was not saved today, if I was not born again, I wouldn't go another day without coming to an altar of repentance and saying, Lord, I need you like I've never needed you before. I can't face this alone. That's the reason, whatever this world comes to, I won't face it alone. Because he that is within me is greater, stronger, mightier than anything I could ever face. Jesus said that manna was just to sustain children of Israel until they reached the promised land. I don't know if you see a parallel to the wilderness struggle and the wilderness journey. Very symbolic of what we're facing today. You see, we're not here to stay. We're not here to take up our eternal abode. Man, we're just passing through. We're just journeying. I want to tell you that I am thankful for everything that God has given me or allowed me to have or allowed me to enjoy. There's many things on this earth that I have certainly enjoyed and still enjoy. But there's not a single one of them going to carry me to heaven. Whatever my bank account is, or whatever my bank account isn't, it's not going to get me to heaven. My granddaddy was a pastor and a preacher, but that ain't going to get me to heaven. My mother and dad were precious saints of God. I never knew a time in my life that they wasn't born again and in church and active, but that ain't going to get me to heaven. Being a father, being a husband, being a good citizen, all of those things are wonderful, but none of those things are going to get me into heaven. I do not know why people think that good works will carry you to heaven. They won't. I'm going to tell you something about our good works. The good works that we think are good are really nothing more than filthy rags. Goodness and righteousness, symbolic of the same thing. And the Bible says our righteousness is just filthy rags. Do you honestly think that you can talk your way into heaven by the things that you've accomplished on this earth? Because you were high and mighty, because you were a good person, because you attended church, because you did all of those wonderful things that we should do, by the way. The saddest words one's going to ever hear is, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. You know, I know we pamper our flesh. We take care of it. I can tell by looking at you, you take care of your flesh. And you do look good, by the way. You should be very proud of yourself. You really look good and nice. But the penetrating eyes of the Holy Ghost looks through that. Looks very deep into our heart. That heart that has hidden things from other people. That heart that maybe is not as 100% true to God as they need to be, and that's where the Lord looks. Is the blood applied to your soul? And Jesus said, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. I can almost see the multitude begin to look in inquisitive eyes and, what are you talking about? Do you know that the bread has been used throughout the Bible as a godly term of sustenance? Not just bread to eat, but bread that God symbolizes his spirit is with us. He also, Jesus said, bread, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth, amen, from God. As God supplies our needs and we become dependent on that, let us never, ever forget the real reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth. Why was he sent? Because he became the sacrificial lamb. Why was he sent? Because we needed the bread of heaven. We needed more than just sustenance. We needed more than God to supply our needs. We needed God to live within us. If you're here today and you're attempting to have a relationship with Jesus Christ on your merit or on your fleshly desires or just your lip service, I encourage you to open up your heart's door. The way I read the Bible, the Lord Jesus is not going to push anybody's door in and come in. He has to be invited in. And may I say, when you do that, your soul will experience ease and satisfaction that it has never held or felt before. I remember the night that Jesus came into my life. I remember the night that he filled me. I don't know about you, but I have this unusual habit of staying to the table until I'm full. I'm not a nibbler. I'm a gobbler. When it comes to the Spirit of the Lord, I'm a gluttonous. Not of natural food, but his heavenly food. I want it. I want it to fill me up. I want it to overflow. I want it to bubble over. I want every soul, a part of my soul, to be filled with the Spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on a serious note, and you know, I've often told people, I am not a judge. God never, ever called me to be a judge. Called me to be a minister, a servant, one who attends to the needs of others, not to judge anybody. But he also called me to be a minister of the Word of God. And you know, I think a lot of the world today wants someone to stand in the pulpit and tell them everything is going to be fine. You just love God and he'll love you. Don't worry. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be beautiful. That is not true. He made me ugly. But he still loves me. But it's amazing how many of that type of messages are going out to a hungry multitude of souls today. And it's filling up churches. The music is good. The lighting is good. See, we got a lot of seniors here. We have to have our lights on. There ain't no way I can read the Word of God by black lights flashing in the back behind me. I don't know where church began to transform from a place of sacrifice and worship and praise unto the Lord to a place of entertain me, make me feel good. Excite me. The blood of Jesus don't excite you. I said, if what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary doesn't excite you, if the fact that he has given you an eternal home where there's no more sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no more death, everything is going to be glorious in the place that he has provided. And the problem is the flesh knows that and the flesh can't go. But that's all right. The soul is going to have a brand new glorified body. Hallelujah. Everything's going to be glorious. Everything's going to be perfect in that place that Jesus himself has prepared. Because he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Jesus said, I am. Many would agree with me that only Jesus can satisfy our deepest needs. There's many people you can talk to. There's many places you can go. There's even professional help that you can receive, but nobody can satisfy your soul like Jesus. Nobody can understand your deepest desires and deepest needs like Jesus. And how we all know that nobody can comfort you like the Spirit of the Lord. Our friends, our loved ones, our family, they're precious and they comfort us, but not to be demeaning of that fact, but nobody can comfort you like Jesus. Nobody can give you that peace and that wonderful satisfaction that the Spirit of the Lord can give you. Jesus not only satisfies our deepest needs, but He makes us full and overflowing with blessing. If I could this morning take a simple poll by the showing of your hand or the raising of your hand, has Jesus satisfied you with blessing in your life? Would you realize and understand and give the Lord praise that He has blessed you beyond measure? And me. But He wants something deeper than blessing you. Told the multitude, it's more than me just feeding your bellies. It's more than me just putting a raiment on you to keep you warm. More than me just healing your body and strengthening you. I want to save you. I want to live inside you. I want to be your Lord and Savior. I want you to be my precious, precious servant and live with me for an eternity. I am the bread of life. The scripture here that Jesus is referring to is a caution for those who only seek God for the things to satisfy the flesh. If I have experienced or seen anything this particular week, it is a caution. It is a warning sign. Just as we see warning signs seemingly every day. You see sharp curve signs. You see the railroad bars coming down, the flashing lights. It's a caution. I think the things that you and I are seeing now is a caution. If we're not ready, we need to get ready. Man, don't count on when the timing's right for you. Don't count on when you get your life straight, then you'll get your soul straight. Don't count on those things. I'm going to tell you something. When that final breath leaves your body, there is nothing you nor I can do. I sat and held Mother's hand last Sunday morning from around 2 o'clock to 2:30, and her breath got shorter and shorter. And I thank the Lord that we had done talked and spoke before she lost the ability to, so that we could get everything said and, you know, love one another, because we both knew that time was coming. But when that last breath left her body, there was nothing else I could tell her or do or say, or she could tell me. She had let me know way before then. Brother, why are you saying that? Because, listen, that was a warning sign to me. I know she was sick. I know she was going downhill. But she was still breathing. There's a lot of folks that are sick, not physically, but spiritually in the world today. They're just getting by day by day by day. There's no real peace and joy in their life. And there never will be if you don't accept Jesus Christ, if you don't open up your heart's door. But one of these days, unless Jesus comes and takes us all and catches us away, it's going to happen to every one of somewhere down the future. That last breath is going to leave our body. No time to run back to church then. No time to hit the altar then. No time to say, Lord, I need to make a change now. Do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Listen, folks, Jesus is not asking you to do some difficult thing. You know, I've had so many people, I can't save because I can't live a saved life. You can't live a saved life without him. Nor I, nor anybody. How many knows? He still knows that we're human. He still knows that even after he saves us and fills us, we're maybe make some mistakes. But at least he's living within us. And forgive us. And let me tell you something. The only time of repenting is not just when you come to Jesus the first time. David let us know. David almost repented every day of his life. And he was known as a man after God's own heart. There's days I have to repent. Not because I think the Holy Ghost had jumped out of me and left me. But because maybe I didn't focus on the Lord. Maybe I did, said, maybe whatever the situation was. And Lord, please forgive me. I repent of that. I want to be ready when he comes. I don't want there to be a doubt in the congregation where I'm going to spend eternity. And I hope and pray that's what you want too in your life. Not a doubt. Nobody will ever say, I don't know where they're spending eternity. I know they was ready to meet Jesus. And I know they're in a better place. I know I've told you this time and time again, but as the old farmer said, told his niece, he said, honey, we're not put here to live. We're put here to prepare to live. And in the last days of his life, he realized that he was only just about getting ready to really live forever and forever and ever. So I ask you this question today. Do you know now where you will spend eternity? Are you one of those, I hope I make it? If you're saying, I hope I make it, you're leaning more on your good deeds. You say, I know I'll make it, then that lets me know, hey, it ain't got nothing to do with what you've done. It's got everything to do about what he's done in your life. And you've asked him to come in as Lord and Savior. God desires to feed and save our soul. Are we more dependent on Jesus for our sustenance or for our salvation? And if we're dependent on him for our salvation, how many knows he supplies the sustenance too? Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. If the music would come this morning, I want every individual just to look at your life, your soul. Are you ready? It's not about impressing the pastor. It's not about anything except making sure that when you leave this building today, you know that you're ready to meet the Lord. See, I don't want you pointing fingers at me and say, Brother Eddie, why didn't you tell me? And I wish that preachers and ministers and evangelists all over the world would get back to telling people, you need to be born again. You need to come out of the life that you're living. And you need to accept Jesus Christ and live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Would you stand? Play when you get ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is your opportunity. You and Jesus know exactly where you stand. If that day and hour should come when your last breath leaves your body, can you leave this world and enter heaven a shouting? Or will your soul be in an awful and terrible place where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies? You don't have to go there. Brother Eddie, don't scare me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make sure that you know where you'll live for eternity. Saints of God, pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is a time to reverence the Holy Spirit, the convicting power of the Lord that is here. Everyone can honestly say that, Brother Eddie, I know if I should leave this world today, that I'm going to be with Jesus. Then that's wonderful. And I thank God for that. But if you can't say that, and if you can't come to this altar this morning, please find somewhere. Doesn't have to be this altar. It can be your home. It can be your bed, down beside your bed, wherever it is. you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're born again. May God bless you. We love you and we appreciate you.
But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials come only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen so many faces. There've been times I felt so all alone, but in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. If I never had a problem. God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God could do.
Learned to depend upon His word. May God bless you. We love you so very much.
Through it all, where would we be without the Lord right now? Without Jesus, without our God. Love each and every one of you. This altar is still open if anyone needs prayer. I just want to worship the Lord just for a minute. I know that He's constantly at work in our lives, in our loved ones' lives. Thank the Lord for being I Am. Amen. The giver of life. Praise God. All hearts and minds clear. Praise the Lord.
The prayers of the righteous avail it much. I want to thank you all, my first Pentecostal church family, brothers and sisters in Christ, for the intercessory prayers that went up for me in my most needed time of life. I thank you and thank God and giving praise and honor and glory to God for providing me with a car. I don't serve God for material things. I serve Him because I love Him. I serve Him because I want to go to heaven. I want to dance in heaven with you. So I just want to thank you all. Thank all of you for being a part of a family I've never had. I thank God I didn't expect to live this long. But God, since I've been here, the neuropathy is going out of my feet here lately. My blood sugar levels dropped from 3 and 2 something to 1 something. God is providing for me spiritually and physically. I'm here because I want to be fed. I'm hungry. And the Lord has allowed me, when I sing in my heart to Him, when I can't open my mouth, I hear the angels harmonizing with me. So I thank God for you all. I love y'all. Because I'm a person that all my life I like being around different people, all kind of people, because we all one family of God, no matter what. I don't go with the prejudice rim and all this stuff that I've heard in my life, but I've been around a lot of people down through the years, and I've taken care of people of different nationalities. So I thank God for y'all. I love you. God bless you.
Praise God. You can't shout after that. You can't shout. Just praise God. We just love Him. Love the Lord. Love each and every one of you. What a, And I don't think there's anyone standing here that can't say how blessed we all are that God's led us to this house of worship. But it's all His house. It's all about God, isn't it? It's not about us, it's all about Him. And we stand strong on that. You're all invited back for service tonight. Come expecting. Pray about the service tonight. Be in one mind and one accord as we come together this evening. Praise God. We love you. We're going to go ahead and pray for an admission, but this altar is still open if someone needs prayer. But we just love each and every one of you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, God, we just love you. Lord, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to pour out amongst each and every one of us, dear Lord. Lord, as we stand together right now, dear Lord, even though we're fixing to depart and go our separate ways, but Lord, we know that you'll be with us everywhere that we go. Lord, may we seek you first in all that we do. Lord, I ask you to protect us and guide us and bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, thank you for your blessings and your love. But Lord, we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.